Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello everybody and welcome to the post-match podcast with me, Theo Squires, here live at Anfield, where Liverpool have just played out a really entertaining 1-1 draw with Manchester City. If you look at the Premier League table, it's probably not the best result. Arsenal stay top and Liverpool and City are behind on 64 points and 63 points respectively. Liverpool only behind got Arsenal on goal difference. But when you consider that the next Premier League game for these sides, Man City host Arsenal, then it's still wide open with 10 games left to go. And it was a really entertaining match. I think we all need to go and lie down. I've never known a game go so quickly as this one. End-to-end action from start to finish. With red-tinted glasses, could Liverpool have won that one? Is it 2 points dropped, 1 point gained? Oh, certainly had plenty of chances. Maybe late shout for a penalty in stoppage time. As I say, we are live on YouTube and on Facebook on the Liverpool Echo page and the Blood Red podcast channel. So get your comments in if you want to give us a shout. Let us know you thought was man of the match. Give your thoughts on the title race. Do you think it's going to win the league? Can Liverpool win the league now? But yeah, it was a really impressive performance from Liverpool. They started slowly, as we've seen a few times this season, but they dug in deep and they were the better side by far for the majority. They fell behind to a sloppy goal by their standards. John Stones nicked in front of Darwin Nunez and got a tap in at the near post from a corner. Though that I believe there is a bit of a controversy about this one, where Alexis McAllister, one of the Liverpool players, he gets blocked off by the Man City defender. Now, obviously, in normal circumstances, we wouldn't think much of that. But if you think back to the League Cup final a few weeks ago, where Virgil van Dijk had a goal disallowed in normal time for Endo being offside and blocking off a defender, it's one that we've seen given. Could it have been disallowed? The officials have plenty to answer for after this one. Liverpool, they get a penalty early in the second half. Edison completely wipes out Darwin Nunez after Nunez pounces on a loose back pass. Brazilian injures himself in the process but doesn't come off just yet. McAllister, he steps up, he takes the penalty, and it is a really good emphatic finish beyond the keeper's grasp into the corner, and he's straight on it, getting the ball back, wants to restart play. And then it's just Liverpool creating chances. You just wanting something to drop in. They've had plenty of chances here that aren't just the goals. Like Szoboszlai headed a really good chance over the bar in front of the pop in the first half from an Elliott cross. Nunez, he got in the end of a low Andy Robertson cross, and he got a toe to it, as is often the case with Darwin Nunez. Couldn't beat the goalkeeper. Ortega, who came on, the substitute Man City keeper, he stayed tall, managed to keep it out. But the big glaring miss is Luis Diaz. He gets played in over the top on the floor by Mohamed Salah, who had just come on. He's one-on-one and he just side foots it wide. He gets the finish horribly, horribly wrong. As I've said, there's a couple of penalty shouts late on. There's a very, very high foot from Doku on McAllister in the last minute of the game. VAR have a look at it, but they decide it doesn't warrant a penalty. I'm not sure about it. We've seen them given it, as I say, is very, very high. Can debate whether he gets the ball or not. Is it one where the officials look at the monitor if it's earlier in the game, as opposed to the final 20 seconds of a match where it decides who's top of the table? We'll let you make your own minds about that. I will say it wasn't one-way traffic by any means. City did create chances. They are a bit fortuitous. One where Kelleher's punch, it rebounds off Foden and comes back and hits the crossbar. That could go anywhere. We've seen them fly in. We've seen them fly wide and just so happened to hit the bar. It would have been a fortuitous way to get the lead. But then Doku's come on. He gets past Quansah and Gomez down Liverpool's right-hand side. Shoots across goal. Hits the inside of the post and bounces back for Kelleher to gather gratefully. But apart from that, City didn't really create too much, apart from a bright opening where Alvarez went close. Like Haaland versus Van Dijk is obviously a massive talking point in this game. And I think Van Dijk got the better of him for the majority. He had a very, very quiet second half in particular. But so many impressive Liverpool individual displays. Like the defence, when you consider it's not your first choice goalkeeper, it's not your first choice right back, it's not your first choice centre back next to Van Dijk, and it's not your first choice left back. And for him to have kept the best striker in world football quiet, it's a really solid defensive display from them. So many vital tackles, so many vital blocks. But then Liverpool scintillating going forward. They look so good on the break, passing the ball around really well. Alexis McAllister was amazing in the midfield once again. And that run of goals and assists just keeps on going. Like we have had a wonderful number six from him, haven't we, for the majority of the season. Basically, since Liverpool went to Manchester City at the Etihad back in, was it October, November? He's really stepped up as a number six since then. But since we've seen him as a number eight in the last 3-4 weeks, wow, what a player. £35 million bargain. We'll go through Doyle's player ratings now. And Harvey Elliott, he's the standout there. He was really good in the midfield once again. I don't know how he has the energy because he's just playing every single minute of every single game at the moment, isn't he? With all these injuries, Liverpool have to keep playing him. And he's just superb. He's not running out of energy. He's pressing down so well. He leads that press brilliantly. He covers so much distance. He passes the ball so well. He's got a good shot on him. Oh, he's just really coming on leaps and bounds. And he is the man who steps up and he's got the star rating in Doyle's player ratings. He gets an 8 today. Extremely busy on the right-hand side. Used position well. And always looked to get Liverpool moving forward. He maintained this level when switching into midfield during the second half. Obviously, when Mohamed Salah came on for Szoboszlai, Elliott did drop into midfield. Salah had a couple of chances too, to be fair. He obviously didn't look his best. He was a bit rusty, but there was one where a corner comes back to him on the edge of the box. His first shot's blocked and then he volleys just wide. There's a few chances where he gets down the right-hand side and his cross, he just can't beat Ortega. A few more chances where like Van Dijk, I think, heads over. Gakpo could get on the end of something. Liverpool have actually had two goals disallowed as well. You almost forget that. They've had two goals disallowed rightly. That's probably why if we forget it. For offside, there was one where Nunes gets played in the first half and he squares it to Diaz for a tap-in, but he was offside. And then the second one, Salah is played in down the right. He crosses for Gakpo. Gakpo has a tap-in and he hits the crossbar. It comes back to Elliott and Elliott rifles in the rebound. But yeah, Salah was offside in the build-up to that. But back to Doyle's ratings, I think McAllister's also got an 8. He was Liverpool's most amazing player midfield today. Close control of passing vital during the first quarter, says Doyle. His influence grew as Liverpool improved and he tucked away the penalty confidently. I think the rest of Doyle's ratings are pretty much 6s and 7s. Yeah. Oh, Cody Gakpo got a 5. That's not the best rating. He's not in the best run of form at the moment, is he, Cody Gakpo? But yeah, if you want to read what Doyle thought of the game, go onto the Liverpool Echo website for his full player ratings. You also have his analysis piece coming up. If he's not done a snap analysis, he'll have one coming up in the morning in Gusty's verdict. Let's have a look at the stats, shall we, and see where that leaves the table. Because from inside the stadium, it felt like one-way traffic for a lot of the game. Liverpool felt in control. Like, you're used to Man City dominating possession. But Liverpool actually edged it today, 53% to 47%. How often do you have more possession than Manchester City in a game? They've had 19 shots to City's 10. Both sides had 6 on target. Yeah, definitely felt like Liverpool created the more clear-cut chances. We'll go through some of your comments now.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
We're live on Facebook and on YouTube, so get your comments in. I see there's plenty of stick for VAR here and the officials. 2 possible penalties ignored for Liverpool, says Jarius. I think the second one especially, that should look like a penalty to me. Doku, high foot. I'm not sure how you can have studs up in someone's chest in the box. It's just going to be the circumstances of it, isn't it? Like the very last kick of the game. Roslin said the same thing. No penalty for Liverpool for McAllister. It's a hard one to take when you look at that. But 1 point gained, 2 points dropped. Liverpool do drop to second. They are behind Arsenal on goal difference alone. Their goal difference is plus 39 compared to Arsenal's plus 46 with 10 games to go. But Arsenal have the tougher run in. Liverpool return to Premier League action after the international break at home to Brighton, where, as I said earlier, Man City host Arsenal. What do you want to happen in that one? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? If Liverpool win, they have a chance to go 3 points above Arsenal, 2 points above Arsenal. You just want as much space between yourselves and City as possible, don't you? Because they still seem the favourites of the title for me. I know they weren't at their absolute best today. Shout out for the crowd. Anfield was rocking today from start to finish. We've probably seen it louder on some occasions for these sorts of games, but they really grew into it as it went on. Got behind the players. So loud for Ring of Fire. Ale, ale, ale. Trying to roar Liverpool over the line to get the elusive winning goal that sadly didn't come. Go back to some of your comments. Jennifer Lopez said, played a nice match, but Diaz, you're supposed to score more than two goals. That is a miss that you're going to be looking back as, isn't it? At the end of the season, if Liverpool haven't won the Premier League, and we're looking at it as they missed out by a point, missed out by 2 points, when Luis Diaz is one-on-one, he should score. Like, it's a simple finish, and to not even test the goalkeeper to put it that far wide, he won't want to watch replays of that again. He's not the only one to miss chances in this by any means. I think it's a Szoboszlai. Oh, no, it's Diaz, sorry, as well. Diaz in the first half, he had one in front of the cop where the corner is begging to be hit and he drags his shot wide. There's a fair few chances there. Liverpool will be looking back at and think, should we do better? More moans at the VAR and the officiating. I'm sure Jurgen Klopp will have plenty to say about that. Within reason, we don't want him to get another touchline ban or a fine, do we? But yeah, the officiating this season has been bizarre at times, hasn't it? But yeah, let's focus on the positives. It was a really good performance from Liverpool. As Tyrone says, it's a really entertaining game and one you can really enjoy as a neutral. Whether you think it's a point gained, or two dropped, there's plenty of positives to take out of it. And you just now focus on those remaining 10 games. And once Arsenal and Man City face off at the Etihad in a few weeks' time, 9 games to go, you'll know exactly where you are in the running. They've all played each other. And then it's just first one to the finish line. Gene says Jota was missed today. I think we said that a few times, to be honest, this season. I remember distinctly that the 0-0 draw with Manchester United here just before Christmas, when Liverpool were struggling to create chances, and you just know Jota, he always gets on the end of something, doesn't he? I think he's got a pretty good record against Man City as well. Obviously not expecting him back anytime soon. I think he'll be next month at best after that knock it was a bit more than a knock, wasn't it, that injury he picked up against Brentford last month. But yeah, he is such a good finisher. He makes the difference in these sorts of games. But you could also look at it and say, if Salah starts, because Salah was only reduced to a substitute bench today after only getting 15 minutes in midweek, if you're looking at a Liverpool team that can start a Salah, can start an Alisson, Alexander-Arnold, Konate, who was absent today after the injury that forced him off in midweek, Andy Robertson was only on the bench. Like, that's a lot of players missing, and that's just from your 11 in the squad. You're still looking at your Thiagos, your Besetiches, Joel Matip. Like, you don't want to use an excuse, but you wonder, how would Liverpool do in this sort of game when everyone's fit? When the wings aren't clipped, they can fully go for it. It's probably one of the regrets of the Klopp-Guardiola era that there's always these sorts of games where you think, if only Liverpool had this. Like Champions League final 2018, for example, if Salah doesn't come off injured, or they haven't got players injured when they're going to Paris against Madrid in 2022. For Liverpool, Man City, you just want it to be like that 4-3, don't you? In 2017-18 again, when they can just fully go for it end-to-end, plenty of goals, everyone fit, everyone going for it. But that's life, isn't it? You miss players from injury. And the fact that Liverpool is still only second in the table on goal difference despite all those injuries is absolutely incredible. Because of those absentees, the youngsters have had to step up yet again. Jarrell Kwanza, I thought, was a rock at the back. He passed it forward really well. He was winning his tackles. And he's up against Haaland as well, and he keeps him quiet. And Connor Bradley, I think he got 60, 65 minutes at right back. He was impressive. He'll have had one chance where he fizzed a low cross goal in the first half after being played in Szoboszlai, but he should have shot, shouldn't he? Shoots a cross goal. Maybe he got a chance of been equalising at that point? But yeah, he gets forward so well, and he's such an exciting talent. Luke Reed says, a good performance, but from poor finishing. If we miss out on this, it's because we've only taken 3 points out of 12 from Arsenal and City. That is something that has been glaring across all these big sides this season, isn't it? They don't seem to be winning against each other. They all seem to be fighting out these entertaining draws. I do agree, Luke. I do think Arsenal will still fall away. Obviously, if they're top of the table after facing City, still fair play to them. Like, they will deserve that spot. Maybe they'll start to convince me otherwise. But I've been saying all season that I can't see Arsenal going to the last day and being in this title race. If I'm in Mikel Arteta's camp, you focus more on the Champions League if you do start to drop away a little bit. But yeah, they're right in this fight as well. Top of the table on goal difference, 10 games to go, full of confidence, winning games emphatically in recent weeks. Then they beat Brentford yesterday without playing well. A late goal from Kai Havertz. If they can keep that up, they'll say it's the stuff of champions, and Liverpool and City know all about that in recent years. Someone who says it's the McAllister challenge late on, it's almost a replica of De Jong on Alonso from, was it the 2010 World Cup in South Africa? I think that's right. Yeah, that's something I looked at the time and thought the same thought, Michael Morgan. Any more comments coming in? Almost numb to VAR now. Yeah, just making some questionable decisions time and time again. Praise for Diaz, apart from his finishing. He was really lively down the left-hand side. Left Walker for dead so many times. Rodri, I think, was lucky not to get a second booking at one point. He was going to basically rugby tackle Diaz after he'd gone behind and then realised he'd already been booked and it would have been a second yellow. Nabil says, we'll take the point. This was never be all and end all anyway. That is a good point as well. Like, Liverpool, they're still right in the mix. When you're only behind on goal difference and you've got so many games left to play, it's not over yet. This isn't a case of Liverpool have missed their chance to win the Premier League title. They're still ahead of Man City. And while you are looking to other sides, it can still turn so quickly, and it will turn so quickly again in a few weeks' time when the Premier League resumes for Liverpool and City after the FA Cup, which is Liverpool away at Manchester United next weekend. What else have we got? Comments, more people. Ahmed here, who's obviously not very happy with Luis Diaz's finishing. Who else have we got saying anything? Have to keep the momentum in the last few games. From James, Liverpool, they played really well today. They've played much better than they did last week against Nottingham Forest. I'd say they probably should have drawn that one against Forest, and they should have won today. You're still getting 4 points at the end of the day. Still staying strong right at the top of the Premier League table.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
This is a good point. Liverpool dominated against the supposed best team in Europe. Haaland was invisible. Hope the lads can take this with them and understand that this is where they are. It's a good point as well. Liverpool have to take the positives from this. They have to build on the momentum. They have to be positive. It wasn't a chance that they would win the league today. Yes, they could have built a 4-point advantage over Man City, but Arsenal would still come again. City would still come again. They've just got to keep getting the job done in their remaining games. And you think if they win all 10, they should be champions? Like, obviously, it's a big ask, but we've seen Liverpool and City do that time and time again. Say City win all 10, Liverpool win all 10, Liverpool champions. So obviously, some tough games to come. You've still got the derby away at Everton. You've still got Manchester United away in the Premier League as well. Tottenham come to Anfield at some point too. That might be one of the last games of the season. Still more on Luis Diaz. I know he missed two big chances, but he's probably our best player. Yeah, you can debate the officials all you like, saying I wouldn't go as far as cheating or corruption. There has just been some very questionable decisions at all ends of the table this season for so many teams. There's plenty more comments here going, Liverpool have been robbed. Jota would have killed the game off for us. You take the point considering the injuries, but maybe that's something to take as a positive as well. Liverpool don't return to Premier League action for a good few weeks now against Brighton. Let me just check the actual date. It's the one after the international break. So yeah, it's right at the end of the month, 31st of March. That's when they return to Premier League action. And when you look at the injury list, that there should be, touch wood, a few more players back by then. I think they were saying Curtis Jones, he could potentially be back for the international break. If he's not back for United in the Cup next week, he could be back for that one against Brighton. Ryan Gravenberch, he could be back for it as well. Ibrahima Konate, depending on how serious that injury that forced him off in the week, you'd like to think he could be back. Trent, maybe. like the only ones you're still looking at who you won't see again, Matip's out for the season. Alisson, we know, is a serious one, and Jota's pretty serious one as well. But if you're thinking you could have Trent back potentially, or Curtis Jones, Gravenberch, your options suddenly look a lot stronger. Oh yeah, Thiago, we don't know when he's back. He might have played his last game for the club. We shall see. But it obviously looks a lot healthier for Liverpool going into that final run-in in the season. And should we take another positive from this? It's a yet another season where Manchester City don't win at Anfield. Still haven't won here in front of fans since 2003, I think. How many people can actually remember that game? I think it was a Nicolas Anelka brace. One of the last games of the season as Liverpool missed out on Champions League football. No chance of them missing out on Champions League this year, I'd say. They are comfortably in the mix there when you think right at the top of the table. And I know Doyle's got a bit of stick, hasn't he, from some of my colleagues, for saying his fifth place prediction at the start of the season, and it was a be good for Liverpool. They just got back in the Champions League. Obviously, you don't want to settle for just getting back into the Champions League, but it's a great starting point. Floriat here, who's a regular viewer, obviously. Well, he comments a lot on these podcasts, so thanks again for tuning in. He says, Elliot was outstanding. He was superb, wasn't he? He's really stepped up in these last few weeks once you've had the injuries. We've also got praise for Kelleher. He made one really big save, actually. Was it for Foden? I think it was second half. Maybe Foden at his near post. He's off his line quickly. He played really well again. He's such a good goalkeeper, isn't he? I'm sure we're all so pleased for him that he's stepping up in Alisson's absence. It could have been the game where the goalkeepers decided it, with Edison coming off injured as well and Ortega coming on. A penny for the thoughts of the Brazil manager here. He's lost two of his first-choice goalkeepers. Who's the third choice of Brazil? We'd ask when Alisson is back. I'm not sure on an exact date. Jurgen Klopp did say a couple of weeks ago, I think in the embargo section of his pre-match press conference, that it's a serious one and we're not expecting him soon. So you may be looking at another month. It was a serious muscle injury. At least Kelleher is playing so well in his absence. I think that's it for your comments, unless you want to get any last-minute questions in. As I've said, Liverpool still right at the top of the Premier League table, even if they have lost top spot for the first time since Boxing Day, when they beat Burnley away from home. It's only goal difference separating them and Arsenal. They've scored 5 goals less, conceded 2 goals more. But when you're putting Mohamed Salah back into your side and all these sorts of players, maybe Liverpool can narrow that gap as well. If we look at the fixtures left for the three teams in the Premier League, bear with me as I load it up on my screen, but I think from when I've looked before, Liverpool have got the easier running, certainly compared to Arsenal. So yeah, Liverpool next in action against Sparta Prague at Anfield on Thursday. 5-1 up on aggregate. Not sure if they'll have anyone back from injury for that one. We'll see if we get an update on Konate now. But surely Jurgen Klopp can rotate there, play a few more of the kids, rest a few legs for Manchester United in the FA Cup quarterfinals on Sunday. Then it's the international break. Brighton at home on the 31st of March. Sheffield United at Anfield on the 4th of April. And then Manchester United away on the 7th of April. After that, Palace at home, Fulham away, West Ham away, Tottenham at home, Villa away, Wolves at home. How many points do you reckon Liverpool can get from that? You'd like to think they stay unbeaten. Manchester United away is tough. Everton away is tough. That obviously needs to be rearranged in there as well. But these are all games where Liverpool are at their absolute best with a full squad. They can win. They're a match for absolutely everyone. So they don't need to fear anyone there too much. Arsenal's fixtures. They were meant to play Chelsea next week, but that's been rearranged because of Chelsea still being in the FA Cup. Then they've got the trip to Man City. They've got Luton at home on April the 3rd. Brighton away on April the 6th, which is not easy by any means. Villa at home April 13th. Wolves away April 20th. Sorry, then a North London derby April 27th at Tottenham. Bournemouth at home. Manchester United away on the 11th of May. And then Everton at home on the last day of the season. You're looking there. Chelsea in a derby, when that's rearranged, could take points off them. You'd expect Man City, to be honest, they'll take points off them. You'd imagine so. Brighton away is never easy. Villa can be a tough team for anyone on the day. Tottenham, how they would love to take points off Arsenal and dent their title hopes. And then United at Old Trafford, so it's always a daunting prospect. Over to City now, who they're probably still the favourites of the title at this point, so let's be honest, even if they are third and a point off. Arsenal at home next, then they've got Villa at home, Palace away, who were something of a bogey team for City in recent years. Maybe that they can keep that record going. Then they've got Luton at home. They've also got to go to Tottenham away on April the 20th. And Tottenham are a team that they've been left cursing so many times before. Then they've got Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, West Ham at home on the last day. And they've got an away trip to Brighton that needs to be rearranged. I'm looking at those run-ins again, and I still think Liverpool's is the most favourable. Liverpool, if they get their own points on the board, they win their own games, they do their own jobs, they could be Premier League champions. I don't want to speak too soon. There's still a lot of football to be played. But, yeah, let's be positive. Let's say it's a point gained rather than two dropped. Liverpool's march for all major trophies still carries on. Got the Europa League midweek, then the FA Cup, and then the lovely international break, where it could be a blessing in disguise with players coming back from injury. Thanks for tuning in live on the Blood Red Podcast YouTube channel and on our Liverpool Echo Facebook page. If you're not listening live, you're not watching live, you can listen back to this on YouTube, watch it back on YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts from. Thank you for tuning in. I'm off now to Jurgen Klopp's press conference, so stay tuned to the Liverpool Echo website for all the reaction from Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola. I'm sure there'll be plenty to say about the officiating. And then we'll also have all the reaction from the guys, Gorsty and Doyley. We'll have Gorsty's verdict going up any time now, if it's not already up. We'll have Doyley's verdict for Doyley's analysis going up in the morning. And then tune in tomorrow, where we'll have your latest episode of the Blood Red Podcast, where we'll talk Man City all over again. I think I'm off for that one. So it should be Doyley, Gorsty, and then Joe Rimmer back in the hosting seat. But yeah, thanks again for tuning in. Thanks for all your comments. Let's be positive. A really good performance from Liverpool. They didn't get the 3 points, but it's another point closer towards a title race. The final straight is very nearly in sight. Get Man City, Arsenal out the way, and then we'll know exactly where things stand. Fingers crossed for the Reds. Until next time, see you soon.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.